So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to read from verse 11 to verse 21. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We're not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We thank God for that reading from his words. I want to focus just for a moment on one of the sentences in the passage that I read, and it's simply this. It's in verse 19 of that passage that I read. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Now, why is this so important? It's important because, as Pete said on the video that we just watched, there are those who think, well, what has climate change to do with the Christian faith? Or what has God got to do with climate change and environmentalism or ecology? And many times we might think, my Christian faith has nothing to do with ecology or environmentalism. And yet the Apostle Paul, as he writes this letter, this encouragement to the church at Corinth, he wants to say, look, when Jesus was living on the earth, and when he was walking around, meeting people, talking to people, encouraging people, when he was healing people, when he was listening to people, when he was bringing life to people, which is what Jesus so often did just by his presence among people, there was a sense of life and renewal and love and kindness and mercy that was brought by Jesus to people wherever they were, and it didn't matter who they were. But it was true for everyone who encountered Jesus. There was something deep and profound that was going on when Jesus met people and engaged with people. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is when Jesus was doing all of that, God was at work. And what was God doing? Not just at one particular high point in the life of Jesus, but throughout the life of Jesus, through when he met men and women, confused people and wise people, when he encouraged and forgave, and when he chastised people, what was God doing? This is what the Apostle Paul thinks God was doing. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. So a mysterious, wonderful work was happening as Jesus lived and died and was raised. Now here's the great thing here. God was reconciling the world. Now, one way we can look at that and read that and say, what that means is God was reconciling me and you, people. We mentioned earlier in the service that in Genesis chapter 1, it says that God creates human beings in the image of God. Yeah? So we can look at one another and say, somehow, in what I'm looking at in you, there is the image of God, the reflection of God. And we might interpret this verse in that way. God was reconciling you and me to God. The Greek word here, and I know you're always interested to know, is God was reconciling the cosmos to himself in Christ. Yeah? God was reconciling the cosmos. Now, what is included in the cosmos? Can we include you and me in the cosmos? Can we include animals in the cosmos? Can we include all the geographical features of the world in the cosmos? Can we include the seas in the cosmos? Can we include the stars? The sun, the moon, the planets in the cosmos? You know, some people might say, no. Now, sometimes when we read the Bible, we have to read it for what it says and then begin to think about it. God was reconciling the cosmos. And this is pertinent to us today because when we think about climate change, we're often thinking about environmental damage. We're thinking about the way that we have mistreated the resources of the world, of even of the cosmos. We have mistreated those things. And what the Apostle Paul says is that in Jesus Christ, God was at work. Maybe God was beginning a work that continues even now to reconcile all things, to move us from a place of abusing the cosmos to a place where we are back in relationship with the cosmos as God intended us to be. And God was in Christ. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Let me just click. And the first thing, just to note, how do we know this is all true? It's because of resurrection. Jesus is raised from the dead. In verse 17, we read of this passage, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. Now, we can read in our Bibles in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, probably very familiar with the words, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And there is a story that is told. The mystery, how do we come to be here? Now, scientists have put it in the theory of evolution, the best theory that we have at the moment to understand how we come to be where we are. When those people who wrote the Bible, their understanding was, it's not just this plus this plus this, but God was involved in this extraordinary, mysterious process of creation and growth and so on. So we know about creation. But we are told here about new creation. If anyone is in Christ, if anyone has formed a relationship with Christ, if anyone has submitted their life to Christ and said, I want to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, I want to obey his teaching, I want to live in a loving, caring, merciful, forgiving way that Jesus lived, I want to live respectful of all of the cosmos, we are told there is something about a new creation a new creation. And we know through reading the Bible that this new creation is a reference to the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus is abused, beaten, unjustly put on trial, and then he's crucified and he dies. But God raises Jesus from the dead. And in that moment of resurrection, there is new creation. And it's God almost saying, okay, things have been like this once, you know, abusive, disrespectful. This relationship, separation from God and from all others and from creation. In the resurrection, there is something new taking place. And we can be part of that. And elsewhere, Paul speaks as if we have already been raised from the dead. That's the impact, he says. So it's about resurrection, this reconciliation of the world. There's something new that is happening. And it's about relationship. All this is from God, who reconciles us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. It's about relationship. And God doesn't say to us, you're on your own. Go and fix the cosmos. But God calls us into relationship with himself and says, follow the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. The teaching about love and mercy and justice and forgiveness and generosity and compassion. Follow the teaching in relationship with God. And then in relationship with others who think in the same way. And we will be partners together in this reconciliation. And of course, the third point, very quickly, is about reconciliation. This bringing back together of all things that have been separated out from God. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 8, that creation is crying out to God. Creation is crying out to God, almost a prayer of save us, save us. All this terrible stuff is happening to creation. Save us. And we are told we are to be ambassadors for reconciliation. Reconciliation of people, of animals, geography, all things, the whole cosmos. And this is where my brain begins to go, oh my goodness, this is such a huge calling for us to be part of a generation of people who say, we want this new creation to involve not just something spiritual, but physical, tangible, so that we can look around and say, we live in good relationship with God, with one another, and with all of creation. And I believe that is our calling, and particularly today as we think about climate change and our impact on the planet. So let's just pause there and let's pray. And Pete asked us on the video to pray for those in authority over us, those who are involved in the negotiations and the conference in Glasgow, to pray for them that they would have wisdom and foresight and courage. And so we do pray for all those presidents and prime ministers, those who are in authority, those who have power and influence, that they would be given wisdom. We pray also, Father, that they would have foresight. They would understand, perhaps more clearly than they have before, the impact of their decisions. And we pray also that they would have courage to do what is right. And we pray for ourselves. We pray that we might, in relationship with God, following the teaching of Jesus Christ himself, we might be those who seek to live a life of reconciliation, drawing all things back to Christ. May God work powerfully in us that we might be instruments to be used by him in this extraordinary work. And give us eyes to see the impact that we have as individuals. And give us courage also to do those things that we need to do to make a difference. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.